हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay. Bhagavat Sandarbha, Adhyayana 3, Adhikarana 2. Now on, Anucheda 38. Vritti. Next, Lord Brahma proves that even the guna avatars are Lord Krishna's expansions, and they are not independent of him. Anucheda 38. Lord Krishna says, there are Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, who are causes of creation, maintenance, and destruction, and other avatars during the maintenance period. Why do you call me the cause of everything? Right, so Krishna said, means there's all these others, they're all doing all this stuff, they're maintaining and all that, so why are you saying that I'm the cause of everything, right? Because Vishnu's maintaining, Brahma's creating, Shiva's destroying, then the Mandvantara avatars, they're maintaining also, you know, everything like that, so why are you saying about me? Right? See, it's a very, very... You see it all throughout that Krishna does this a lot. Someone's saying, you're the supreme. How am I the supreme? You know, I die this and that. And so, you know, it's like in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. You know, you go to the devotee, you're this, you're that. You know, means he's gone to the previous devotee and he said, oh, no, me, not me, him. He's this, this, that. And then he goes to that devotee. What are you talking about? You know, it's like, you know, you say Vishnu lives with me and all that, but, you know, he just comes here and then he disappears, you know. Or, you know, then Brahma is that, yeah, the thousand-headed Vishnu, but then he just comes for formal occasions and goes back to his place. You know, so like that, Krishna does, it's part of Krishna's personality, so it's just the way Krishna and the devotees work, right? You know, we were saying yesterday, that's what I was trying to get to yesterday, is that all these things in the social standard, then the devotees use them for, not showing any specialness. Does that make sense? Like Haridas Thakur, like I mentioned yesterday, Haridas Thakur, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. They didn't go into the temple. Now you look at that, you don't disturb others in that, but you'll say they're the most important, they're the Namacharya. And he says, no, I'm just from a, you know, Malecha background. I can't even go into the temple. Yes. You understand? So these are used for advantage to just keep that humble position. Right? So if they aren't, you know, like Yudhishthira Maharaj is such a great devotee. He is emperor of the world. He just finished Rajasuya sacrifice. Harder to do that. Right? But he will be able to because I didn't do myself. You know, brothers and Krishna, everybody arranged and that. And I just was sitting here. Does that make sense? So that's what we're saying is that in the contemporary, they'll take up these positions and try to use them to push themselves forward. Rather than the opposite, where you just, no, you use it to advantage. Does that make sense? You know, advantage to being humble, right? We're supposed to be humble and tolerant. You know, respect others not. So these are advantages. Is that? Yeah. No?
I was thinking that some, following in the footsteps, trying to act as if they are. However, they don't really feel, because Rupa Sanatana, they felt that way.
Yes.
It was their feeling.
Yes, yes, yes.
Deep inside themselves.
Yes.
But we're trying, and nobody actually believes us. Because it's fake.
Yes. Practice.
So then it's confusing.
No, but it's the Shastra says, therefore then that's the point, that is the convincing point. You know? But for us is that it's a matter of just appreciating that the only thing actually of value is that surrender and faith and affection for the Supreme Lord and His devotees. That's it. Everything else is secondary. Literally. Everything else is secondary. So everything else has its value in as much as it supports this primary point. That's where it gains. See, because in the material world, we've made the secondary important, you know, on its own. Right? In the spiritual world, the secondary is important because of its connection to the primary. But in the material world, without the primary, we make the secondary important on its own. You know, it's just like to be a good person on its own is it stands on its own. It's its authority, it's its position. But actually, it's only being a good person in connection with Krishna that has a real value. Because the other one, it will be temporary, it will be lost. So neither will the individual living entity who is nice get an eternal benefit, and neither will any of his associates. But if that's used in Krishna's service, and they're being nice in context of Krishna consciousness, then they're getting eternal benefit, and others who are associating with them are getting eternal benefit. So that's the meaning of parama upakar. It's the topmost welfare. Being Krishna conscious on its own automatically makes everything else wonderful. That's the whole thing. So it's just within the material context. But the fun part is that the human element is actually, that's the most, if you're taking it that this is the essence, it means it's just Krishna, his devotees, that affection between them. That's the essential point, nothing else. Then where is it, where can that be perfectly manifest? Right? That's there, but I'm just saying in all the different situations, it's going to be in human life. Right? Because we're bringing out the context of, you know, how this fits into the spiritual world. Right? Is that the human life then is that position where that's all you really have. They're not that great, not that small, not that, you know. Because otherwise, you know, Dwarka and everything, they're all big guys. You know, Vaikuntha, it's all God. You know, the heavenly planets, it's all big, big guys. You know, 33 million. And then all their, you know, very qualified assistants and associates. Then on the lower planets, you're going to have all the big, big demons with all their powers and all their opulence, right? Even on the Bhumandala, then all the seven islands, then they all it's Bhuswarga, right? So that it's also they also have more powers, more this and that, so you can get distracted. But here, the because when they say humans, they mean us here. Right, because the human form means 400,000 varieties. But generally, when you say human, it means here, the Bharata Varsha Bharata Khanda. Right, and so here, this small group here, you see, it's the smallest group. So you have Vrindavan on one end, and you have this on the other. Does that make sense? And then in between, you have all these other, you know, very powerful, the varying degrees and opulence and everything. Does that make sense? So it's manifest here. Because then it being manifest here, because Braj is the natural position. Right? So that same kind of culture is manifest here. And so they'll refer to it from here. In Braj, they'll refer to it from here. Vaikuntha, they won't refer to here. Right, so it's only in Goloka they'll refer to the human pastimes. Right, but even Dwarka, the majesty is greater, so those things will have an effect. You know, like Kunti Devi's pointing out is that this lifestyle of the kings, it's not as great as people make it, because being regulated by the rules, having those positions, having that authority, having that opulence, you have to act in certain ways. And so then you're limited. You know, it's just like someone else, you know, says, you know, how you say, you know, I say the brothers bring home their new wife, or it means the girl to marry, and one of them's going to marry it, right? Because, you know, all the brothers are there, they're all very tight, so one of them's got a wife, and then they're all, yeah, he's got, you know, and then they're next, right? You know, so he brings home, we've gotten, you know, some nice bhiksha today, because they go out begging. And then the mother says, yeah, share it equally amongst yourself. And then they bring in the girl and go, oh, okay, well, forget that, you know. Who brought her, you know. So Arjuna, okay, then you arrange it. But as kings, they can't do that. They've said they have to follow. So it's restrictive. Does that make sense? So Braj is just that setting that's there. Is it doesn't have these restrictions the Brahmins and Kshatriyas, but it still has that higher level of society that you can move with all the opulence and all that, and you still have that kind of enough sense of duty that it works. It's not completely over the top like you get down into the artists. You know, artists can't follow anything. It's just whenever they feel and this and that, and it that again gets very, very a lot of turmoil. Does that make sense? So it takes on that perfect kind of situation. And so then the Goloka will be based on the human lifestyle because it has the most prominence of just on the relationship. You know what I'm saying? That sweetness of that relationship. Though we see as Dwarka will be mixed, of course. But it's not like Vaikuntha where it's just he's God. And so therefore God and all the opulence following all the things. And they love the Lord, so therefore it comes out nice and they're happy with it. But there's a uniqueness to the human. Because Vaikuntha, they're not human. You understand? They're above humans. You know, it's God and his is like that kind of thing. That makes sense. Yeah. So then that aspect of bringing out that... So Krishna will have fun doing that, just taking that human position. Why are you saying all these things? Because that's where the taste is. And so because of that, that's why the devotees say, oh no, but we're just an ordinary person. It's part of the taste. So therefore, yes, just like that, you know, that's just one thing we appreciate. So that's the whole idea of following in the footsteps. One appreciates. One doesn't imitate. One appreciates and one tries to apply it how much you can. And if we're not very good at it, then that just puts us more into the context that we're actually not that good. So we're saying, maybe the other person didn't buy it, but you have to buy it. I'm not even very good at saying I'm not very good. Yeah. So there's some the whole thing of taste. That's the actual main thing. So does that make sense? And because that taste is then tasted in the association of devotees. That's why it's important. And because that's so wonderful, then the Sankirtan mission is making that taste available for others who don't have it. In a sense, so it's a natural extension. Is that here? Yes.
Now, what's the difficulty or the obstacle here to help us to come to that standard?
Means, yeah, because we're in the material world, because we're proud, we're trying to work on this platform that the secondary is the most important. So we have to have the faith that it's actually Krishna that's important. That's the meaning of, see, is the importance of, let's say, somebody giving up, like you see, you have examples of devotees who, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, they're family persons and they're in the family and they're actually increasing their position. Right? But then you have others like Pariket Maharaj who just leaves everything. So you have all those examples. So that's the whole point, is that it's that faith in Krishna. So you'll see it's glorified when it says, like the gopis, they left their families, everything to surrender to Krishna. Because the point is that the primary is that relationship with Krishna, not something else. You know what I'm saying? These things don't help. There are people with so much money, they're not any happier than someone who's, you know, who we would technically call poor. Right? Like that. So that's the point, is that it's not, you don't see, how you say?
Correlation.
Hmm? Yeah, there's no correlation between having money or having position or having authority or having facility, you know, or any of these things and actually being happy. That's why we're bewildered, because we're working on the premise that if the secondary attributes are in good order, I should be happy. So we're taking it that the if I have sat and I have chit, automatically there's ananda. They produce ananda, rather than ananda is its own category. Ananda is produced because of rasa, because of relationship. So we're working on a faulty premise. So we're thinking, oh, if I don't have money, it's just, let's say we have the verses, the purports, where they're saying, yes, you know, all this money and family and you know, the land of your birth and all this is all useless. It's only unless it's, you know, but then what will be the general thing? People think, no, but I need my money. I need this and that. How am I going to function? Without that, how do I do service? You know, immediately these things come up, you know. So whenever you get one of those purports, you know, then, you know, it's like, then one group is like, yeah, and the other group, oh, no, not and again. You know? Right? So the whole point is it's because, why is it glorious renunciation? Because you're giving up the material. But it only becomes actually glorious when you're accepting Krishna. So if you're accepting Krishna, that means technically, automatically, you've given up the material world, even though technically, externally, you haven't. The gopis still have homes, families, and this and that. They're not sannyasis and, you know, sages like that. But because they're fully surrendered to Krishna, they actually have that full effect. So as practice, then, if we'll see if everybody's just attached, then we won't give up anything. What we see is that a detachment is more, and it's more respectable, right? So then we'll have a tendency to try to emulate that, right? But its only purpose, as Prahlad Maharaj says, is its connection with Krishna, that surrender to Krishna. If you give up everything and don't surrender to Krishna, then, you know, it's just a waste of time. Right? It's nice, you move forward, you're detached, you may get liberation, but then you'll be back. So, yeah. Okay. Brahma answers. Ajanatam tvat paravim anat manyatmana bhashi vitaya mayam shrishta vivaham jagato vidhana ivatvam eshonta iva trinetra. For persons ignorant of your actual position, you appear in the material world, spreading maya. For the creation of the universe, you appear like me, Brahma. For its maintenance, you appear like Vishnu. And for its annihilation, you appear like Shiva. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.19. Udvriti. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Not understanding anything about your spiritual universe, the materialists think that you are simply material, maya maya. According to the persons who think themselves learned, but are ignorant of the path of bhakti, tad paravim, you, Atma, spread yourself in matter, anatmani, by your own will, Atmana. And they say that, quote, though without form you take a form in matter, bhashi. For creation you become Brahma, aham. For maintenance, vidane, you become Vishnu, tvam. And for destruction you become Shiva, trinetra. Though you are without form, you take a form in matter as Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Thus, the form of Narayana, situated in the water of Maya, and all the avatar forms are all composed of Maya. The transitory calves and boys and four-handed forms of Vishnu are all Maya. This is the conception of the ignorant. Right? So they're going to see that everything is just illusion. like that. So that's the whole point, is that everything is coming. They're in ignorance. They see it as there. They don't see that as it's coming from him. So Krishna is the origin. The word tvam, you, in the last line, is the subject of the verse Bhashi. You, this form of Swayam Bhagavan, different from the Gunavatars, appear as Brahma for creation, as Vishnu, Esha, for maintaining the universe, and as Shiva for destruction. Eshaha is paired with Iva, not Tvam. The previous verse also indicated, except for Krishna, everything else was a show of Maya. Right? So, it's a show of Maya, but it may be conducted by his internal potency. But the point is, it's a show of his energies. So that's the whole point, is you can say as, well, how is it, how is it he's the supreme? Because he's the controller of all those energies. So even Krishna's coming as Vishnu, it's still a show of his internal potency. And therefore, as Vishnu, he maintains the universe. He does that particular aspect. Right? Because Krishna doesn't have to do that. He just has to herd his cows. Right? And even that's just so he has an excuse to go out of Nanda Bhavan and be with the cowherd boys and the gopis. Right? Does that make sense? Because if you have duties, like just like this, if there was not a concept of duty, it was just all as we think, spontaneous, I just do whatever I feel like. Now, when it comes for the time for Krishna to go out and take the cows out, right? And Mother Jashoda is saying, why do you have to take them out? Nanda Baba can take them out. So, now, in the contemporary environment, would Krishna be able to go out with the cows? No. Because it's just, she feels like that, that's the way it is. Right? But because you have that point, that there's that Maryada aspect, that there are rules, there's restriction. But that restriction is for rasa, because otherwise there would only be parental rasa. And the others would just kind of be hovering around the edge. But because there is duties, therefore, as a Vaishya, they have to herd their cows. That's their occupation. And when you start that when you're a Kumara. Right? With the calves. You start herding the calves. Right? And so because of that, then by the time you're adult, then you're expert at taking care of the cows. Right? So by the time you're 16, you can get married, all these things, you're already fully trained in as a Vaishya. So now you can perform your lifestyle very nicely. But because there's duties, therefore he has to go out with the cows. Then he can do these other activities. Right? And if it's up to the cowherd boys, he's out playing with them, Mother Jashoda comes and says it's time for lunch, and the cowherd boys say, well, if you go now, just when the playing's at its perfection, like that, then we're not playing with you anymore. So then he gets worried, so he comes back, and Mother Jashoda says, what, you're a street boy? So they have to let go, because it's true. You do have a home, you do have parents, they are in charge, so therefore he has to go home and have lunch. Does that make sense? So, the point is you're following the path of rasa. That's spontaneous devotional service. It's not that spontaneous devotional service means I don't have to follow the rules and it's whatever I feel like. What I feel like is not the point. It's following the path of rasa. That rati, that attraction to Krishna, that's what guides the path, what the path is. Not what I feel like. What I feel like, that's still within the concept of karma and jnana. Because karma is what I feel like, jnana is what I feel like. Right? Liberation is what I feel like. Right? Does that make sense? So it's a subtle point. So the duties then take it beyond that. But the duties without supporting bhakti, without supporting that devotion, what's the point? So we see even in the spiritual world, that's still the same principle is there, but they're spontaneously following that path of devotion. So in Vrindavan, you'll see it's spontaneous devotional service. While in Dwarka, you have that majesty. Majesty means there's that regulation that goes along with it. Because you have opulence, then there's something that has to go. You're having a big festival. There has to be a formalized program. It's just like, does that make sense? you know, you're going to have the senior persons and everything like that. Then they're going to get up. Someone's going to, you know, introduce and all that, because the people don't necessarily know everybody there, and so someone has to introduce, because you're trying to establish a relationship between the audience and who's speaking. So someone has to come on and introduce them and this and that and so many different things like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then they're going to have all that formality. So that means the guy waits. So, you know, he's sober. Then he comes up and all that. And, you know, if he stands on the side, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, tell him. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you know, then you're going to think, why do I want to listen to this guy? Right? So there has to be that formality. So it restricts things. But it's within that path, so they naturally follow it. So there'll be an aspect of spontaneity, but it's still within a restricted environment. Right? So Vrindavan, it's that these things just support so that you can move through them. Just like Radharani. Now, if she could go to the Sun Temple and do her own puja, then where's the opportunity for Krishna to come and be the Brahmin? Right? In the temple, yeah. They go to the Sun Temple, you know, to worship, but they need a Brahmin. But if you go by the contemporary thing, they should be able to do it themselves. You know? Or if you go to a Shinto shrine, you just put in your coinage, and then the robot will do the puja for you. You know, so you don't need anybody. You understand? So these things are there because now you need a Brahmin. Right? So then Krishna can dress up as a Brahmin, do all this puja. And he's doing the puja for Radharani right in front of Jatila and Kutila. And they're so impressed what a nice Brahmin they have. Right? Does that make sense? And then in language, because you have these double meanings and you have the direct and the indirect, like we were hearing yesterday about the poetic, the indirect is the highest in the way of poetry, you know, and taste and rasa. You know, management may be another thing, but, you know. So therefore, Radharani and Krishna can say things in an indirect way that externally have one meaning, but indirectly have another meaning. And so, because they're doing puja and all that, that's the context, so Jatila and Kutila will see it in that context only. Right? But Radha and Krishna and the gopis, they're going to see it in the other context. You understand? So all these things come in. So they're all here. That's the whole point, is the human life is so easy that you can easily take up and develop the process that's going on in the spiritual world, that attitude. But you have to give up the attitude here that the secondary is important. It's supportive. Because when we say it's not important, then at least from the American standpoint, I mean, it's just thrown out. It's all or nothing. Right? And so then it's just thrown out. So you're saying we don't need any? No, we're saying it's like that. So then we do need it. No, but like this. No, but then you're saying we don't. It's just, there's no balance. You know. So that's the difficulty. You know, to be able to catch that balance that it's there, but it's only supportive. It takes on the flavor as if this is what's happening, but it's not. It's just in support. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, the mother's cooking the meal for the family. So then in the contemporary environment, we may look at it that the food's what's important. Right? Because when we drop away the family and everybody just goes out to the restaurant, it's about the food. Right? And as more and more it just gets that. Because, what do you call it? People take pictures of the food they're eating and put it on Instagram. Right? Like that. You know, people take selfies, not usies. You understand? Like that. So that's the point, is that. So it moves away to, it becomes more. We're saying that, oh, it's more happening. All it is that we're intensifying the secondary. And because that's the material consciousness, it seems that it's getting higher. So people will say, we're improving, it's getting better. But when it's actually, it's about the personal, it's going the opposite direction. Right? So it's even coming to the point you don't even have to do anything with it. You just have to have it. You know, you send the picture of what you're eating, not how nice it was. You understand? Because if I see how nice it was, I was thinking, yeah, if I was eating that, could be, and then I can fantasize and I'd be happy. So everyone's just fantasizing. It's not real. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we're intensifying the secondary. While the point is there, the mother's cooking for the family, so it's all coming together about the meal and their enthusiasm about the meal, but the actual underlying is the mood that's there. The mother cooking for the family being together. Does that make sense? That's the real thing. You know, and then according to traditions, then everyone must be there at dinner. It's all eaten together. You know, you have to dress nicely and all that. You know, because then, point is you're going to dress nicely because then everybody else has to see you. Everyone else, you've been out working all day. You're going to come home slovenly and stinky. So you go take a bath, you put on proper clothes and everything. Then you're at your best. It's the nicest for interaction. So it's all about relationship. All the rules are about relationship. Right? Directly or indirectly. Like that. So that's why they maintain, but it's not about the rule. Right? Because otherwise, if it was about the rule, how long would it take to eat that meal? If you just sat, ate, didn't talk, how long would it take to eat the meal? 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Yeah. Like that. But how long does dinner take? You know, depending upon the culture and all that, it can take, you know, half an hour, it can take 45 minutes, it can take 3 hours. Does that make sense? So it's about the association, and the meal is an excuse for it. So that's the point, is in the path of spontaneity, the rules are an excuse for rasa. So it's not about the rules, it's about rasa. It's not that, it's not about the rules, I can do whatever I want. That's rasa bhas. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. So it's just a matter of, you get what you want. Let's say, okay, I don't have to follow the rules. Okay, so then, you know, how you say, then, you know, so the socialite then, because, I don't have to follow the rules, I can do whatever I want. So will they dress badly? Will they just put on their baggy t-shirt and their sweatpants, you know, to go out to the program? No. They're going to follow the rules. Why? Maybe not because they care about the rules, but they care about being seen as someone who dresses nicely. So that for the taste of dressing nicely, then according to the situation, they will adjust and dress. Does that make sense? It's a formal occasion, they'll dress this way, they'll be the best. It's an informal, they'll be the best at that. You understand? So those who are actually successful, there's something beyond that. We're thinking it's because they're how you say, you know, it's the dress. No, it's the attitude and all that that they're trying. They get it exact, because if you get one thing wrong, it just doesn't match. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, it's a black tie event, and you wear your jacket, and it's got some decoration on it, some stones. So it's fancier than anybody else has, but it will be taken as a little bit crass. It's not refined, even though it's fancier. You understand? So you have to get it exactly. So in the material world, it's because of karma that they can do that. But in the spiritual world, it's because of taste. It's because of the rati. So the spontaneity means, it doesn't mean you're not following a form. It just means that it's fresh. It's following where the rasa goes. The rasa is going this way, you go with it. That's why it may go differently down the path, but you're following it down the path. As it switches direction, you switch with it. Right? People that are follow the rules and that, they consider them, you know, stodgy or boring or that, because they won't switch as it switches. They'll only do the one thing. So it's not the rules that are the problem. It's the attitude in following them. Does that make sense? So when we do this for material, it's material. But when we do this to please Krishna, then that's spontaneous devotional service. So, yeah?
I'm thinking that's why it's very difficult to organize, you know, any event with the devotees, because some understand formal, some understand informal. But
and some don't understand at all.
Yes, but even less people understand being informal with informal.
Yes.
Which is actually where the taste is. Because you have...
Or formal within informal.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can hang out with people that are senior to you, and it's an informal environment, but you still respect their position.
Yeah.
But it doesn't get it detract from the rasa. Yeah. Or it's a formal situation, but you can still be kind of friendly and this and that and joke and... Yeah, but that's culture. That's why you see so much of what we're discussing is culture. Chaitanya Charitamrita is all about the culture. Bhagavatam is all about the culture. And the best, closest we get is that somehow or another, due to the, you know, modern kind of health considerations, yogurt is good for you. That's as close as we get to culture. Unless you're in a particular philosophical group concerning eating, and then you don't even get yogurt. So...
That's even less
comfortable. Yes. Like that. So the closest they maybe get is kombucha or something. Chamomile tea kombucha. Yes, okay. So that's a very, very, it's a very good point, but that's the thing is that the taste comes from taste. So if the leaders of the program have that, it'll slowly, slowly expand. Right? Just like maybe it's the situations at, let's say, I've seen it specifically in two places. You see in Hungary, right, there are big festivals. I don't know now, but before, then you have so many senior devotees coming. And then they'll be interacting and all that. So it's a formal environment, but there's that informality. And then others see that and they appreciate that. And also in Chaupati, Maharaj is there, festivals, other senior devotees. Like you see the Vyasa-san, it's actually for sitting like five people. And then you have at the end, it's just got that little angle where the person who's giving the class sits. But all the other senior devotees also sit there. So they're all there and then they may ask them, they may make comments and... Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that it all comes down to, in this context of association, and specifically leadership. So if leadership appreciates it. So you can see is leadership, putting an emphasis on management, doesn't actually improve the situation. Right? It's leadership putting the emphasis on Vaishnava association and Krishna consciousness. That's what people are looking for. Otherwise, why is someone going to leave Wall Street to come to Krishna consciousness? Because we put an emphasis on management? No. We had a devotee here in Mayapur. He did all the gardens. He was one of those guys in suits on the floor in Wall Street. You know, successful. Really, you know, going for it there, out there, you know, as soon as it comes up, yelling, screaming, doing the whole thing, like that, making tons of money and all that. And then one day, he just said, this is crazy. So, he actually got into an airplane, but not by the regular method, you know, because he's smart. He got in landing gear. The front landing gear. Just went in, you know, if you're smart, you dress up, because it's, you know, -50 up there. And so like that, and he went from New York to Hawaii. Got off there, went out onto one of the obscure islands, moved into a cave, and Hari Bala. And then somehow or another later he bumped into the devotees and became a devotee, came to Mayapur. So you're not going to impress these people with our management. But you can impress anybody with these points that you're talking about. That ability of the culture and all that, that's going to attract attention. That's what people want. They're looking for that taste. They have stuff, but where's the taste? So that's real leadership, is showing how can you do this? How do you get a taste out? How does it develop the relationships? How does it do that? That's actual leadership. Because leadership's about people. Management's about getting something organized. Manipulating the energy to give a particular result as you want. So it's just Kriya. And then, okay, if you have the proper knowledge, you can use the Kriya properly. You know? But the point is if it doesn't produce Ananda, then what's the point? So nowadays, it's just if you have the Kriya, they talk about the Kriya, but they're only discussing it on the platform of Jnana. You don't even actually see the Kriya. You know, as I was saying, it's getting farther away. It's just you have the facility. Before, people had the facility and enjoyed the facility. Now you just have the facility. Who can enjoy it? Right? Because if you're taking a picture of something to eat that's actually worth eating, right, that you could get some enjoyment out of it, it's not good for your health. So, you know, who would eat it?
Sometimes they post this vegan stuff and they look sometimes okay.
If they really go for it, if you do gourmet vegan, it looks nice. But it has to be gourmet. It has to be on that level where they actually properly plate it and do all the things and put all the leaves and this and that. Then it looks okay. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, what to do. But it has to work. Because otherwise, why would you send a picture unless it was one of those? If it's that, you definitely want to send a picture because it looks fabulous. So that's the whole direction that's required. If that's understood, you'll see that everything just naturally is there. Because having hundreds of thousands, or technically millions of people in Krishna consciousness, aren't there no managers amongst them? There must be a few managers. And so therefore, if it's about the mood and that, and the leadership is establishing the mood, then they become inspired. They want to do something for Krishna. What can they do for Krishna? Manage. So they'll come forward and manage. You know, just like people who make money, they'll come forward with money. People can put in time and effort and particular skills and craft. They'll come forward and do that. So the point is if leadership is there in the way of inspiring in the culture and practice of Krishna consciousness, then everybody is going to come forward in their own nature. And then those who organize it have to be able to see that that's how the nature works. It's about engaging yourself in Krishna's service, doing what you like to do for Krishna, doing what you can do for Krishna. Prabhupada said that's the other aspect. That's the secondary aspect of leadership, is knowing varnashram so people can be engaged according to their nature. And then naturally, then you're going to get the best out of everybody. You know, it's just like Bhakta Jose is the best manager. He manages it. Even though, you know, this devotee here who's Prabhupada's disciple from, you know, how you say back in, you know, how you say 1292, you know, he joined Krishna consciousness. Still, he's not a manager. And so, therefore, he should have nothing to do with the management. But if he can point out something that, what about this aspect of Krishna consciousness which Bhakta Jose doesn't know? Then that's valuable input. But because he's been around for the last 2,000 years doesn't mean that, you know, he tells people how to manage things when he can't manage. You know what I'm saying? And then you're going to have a big program. You have the person who's the best at doing kirtan, best attitude, they sing. Right? And some of them might be better, but if their attitude's wrong, you don't want them singing. You know, who's the best at cooking? You're going to the kitchen. Okay, who cooks? This one's best at puris. He makes that. This one's best at halava. They make that. This one's best at the sabzi. They do that. And that way you get the best out of everybody. This person knows how to decorate, so they do all the decoration. Like that. This person knows how to host, so they go host everybody and dress it like this. But they know how to host, but they don't dress so well. So the person who knows how to dress will dress them up. And make sure everybody else who's a slav is dressed properly. Right? And then like that, then everybody's doing their best for Krishna. Because you have leadership. Does that make sense? That's what it's for. And that's the fun part. If there's actual leadership, everything starts to fall into place immediately. But if you put the emphasis on management without real managers, it will never fall into place. It just won't. It will maintain because, as we said here, Vishnu's the maintainer. He will maintain it. But it won't develop. You know, it will slowly, but individually it'll be done. Because it's a group effort, therefore it all comes out. But it's not because of leadership. Or let's say, it's not because of management. It actually goes because leaders do happen here and there. Yes, so then from that, then it will work very, very well. So that's the whole point, as we see, is that Krishna, the emphasis is on him in human pastimes and Braj. Everything else, which is organizational and all this, and position and authority, and you know, and everything, and who's the biggest, who's the most rich, who's the, everything like that, that is all in support of. That's why you see every other incarnation of Krishna, every expansion, all feels themselves a servant. So, Balaram, then you'll see, is Nityananda. He'll have that parental, you know, and friendship and servitorship mood towards Krishna. Right? Advaitacharya, who's his expansion, only has friendship and servitorship. Even though he's the oldest of them, and the senior most socially, he doesn't see himself in any way in a senior position. So, like
this
that.
This point very difficult to understand, because many devotees actually think the other way around. They think Advaita Charja in the parental rasa is Mahaprabhu.
No, it said friendship, and that's why he works so hard to get it where Lord Chaitanya will chastise him and not deal with him so formally. I mean, socially, yes, he is, but as far as his rasa, no. How Lord Chaitanya deals with him is as the senior. Right? Because he is a god brother of his guru.
Yeah.
So he's going to see him in that capacity. Right. Plus, he's elder than all the others and everything like that. You know, I mean, being Narayan, he's never more than 16 years old. But the point is he takes on that kind of mood and everything like that. So you have Mahavishnu and Rama Devi, you know, living there in Shantipur. You know, so it's not even Garbhadaksha or Kiradaksha. This is Mahavishnu. Right? That's the point. Is that you have to understand? There's the philosophy, there's the culture, and the culture has both aspects: how you're dealing with it, how the other person deals. Right? Because if you use managerial, it's just that here's the thing: it's the hierarchy. He's respectable. That means everybody else isn't. Everybody just respects him. But if you're dealing, rasa is the highest, people are the highest, leadership is the highest, then it's everybody's respected for their position. Is that, you know, it's just like, let's say we take that example in Chaupati. Now, have you seen the Maharaj there? Let's say some other devotee that's there in the community. It's good to chance that they're his disciple. Right? But they're doing something. And then probably Maharaj, they'll tell Maharaj, you know, and it's a group there, because it's always, he won't just be alone. There'll be, you know, the devotees and that. And then let's say there's some guest devotee, some preacher that. He'll say, Maharaj, there's such a nice festival you've organized. And he'll just say, no, I didn't. This devotee organized, and he did this, and that one did that. I'm just here. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that kind of mood, that's what gives the taste. But this idea is that you're in charge and everybody else just falls in line after that. Where's rasa? Management, maybe, if you are a manager. But as far as taste goes, unless there's a strong taste of maryada, then you may find that strongly there. But still, you have to, point in Manu is that even maryada, you have to respect the other person's vibhutis, because they're Krishna's vibhutis. So it'll be formal. Well, the other one can be more informal. But you have to respect. And so then if it's organizational and it's maryada, it has that kind of thing to it, which is fine. If that's the flavor, that's the mood. But then who are they respecting? Who are their mentors? Who are their inspiration? And if they don't have, they're not a leader in any way, shape, or form. Absolutely not. They're not even an administrator. At best, a manager, if they can manage. Does that make sense? So this always goes up. You see, there's a whole thing about basically half of Manu is about kings. Right? Half's about Brahmins, half's about kings. So you have them and establishing themselves, but it's so important that they have their Brahmins, their gurus, that they're following, that they're respecting. Does that make sense? You know, even you hear about a big singer, you know, who's like the number one, they'll always be who's their inspiration. And they'll have different individuals, different groups. Everybody. Any even big actors are going to say, this one's my inspiration. You know? In administration, then they're going to say, yeah, I was inspired. I think there was one, I can't remember who it was. But I've seen a couple of, where there's a picture of a sitting American president, and there's some school group there that they're coming to visit, you know, because sometimes they arrange, they go and they visit, and the president will come out, meet them, shake hands, and stuff like that. And one of them, where he's shaking hands, he's one of the ones that in the future was a president. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so there's always that thing, that they're inspired by somebody. If you're not inspired by anybody, then one has to ask, are we anything more than what the Bhagavan Tam says? Bellows, breathe. You know? Because it's personal. If you're not personal, you can't create a personal environment. You can't inspire people. So that's the whole thing, is that as an individual, as a living entity, you can be personal. Therefore, you can be a leader. Managers, only if you have a management ability. Right? Does that make sense? So it's rare. Like that. So how many are going to be there? It's just like we see Rishabdev. Was it Rishabdev? Yeah, he had 100 sons, right? So out of his 100 sons, then what was it? 11 were Paramahamsas, right? The Navayogendras. Huh? No, 9. Yeah, that's... yes. Very obvious right there. I think it was 11 were Kshatriyas, and then the rest were Brahmins. Like that. So you see, it's not that many are Priyavrata, even though he preferred being a Paramahamsa. So those that have the nature to administrate, and then those who are willing to administrate, especially within the context of Krishna consciousness, is going to be less. So this idea that anybody can be a manager. I've heard anybody can cook, but I've never heard anybody can be a manager.
Now they say anybody can be a leader. You just have to go through a course and get some tricks and, you know, charisma, and that's it. You are a leader.
How do they train them in charisma? I can understand tricks. So it's just tricks of charisma.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a technique, being charismatic, you know, like you said, dress in a certain way and appeal to people, you know, use certain vocabulary.
When are they going to start this training? Mm-hmm. You know, saying, I haven't seen, where are they? Okay. So, yeah. And then once, and now you work regularly with a certain group of people, and after you've gone through all your tricks a few times, then what?
Then you accept it as a leader.
Oh, okay. Okay. Why not? So you see? So for Krishna, the biggest taste is not being God. That's why he even said here, as Vishnu he comes. He's his guna avatar. He does the God stuff. Krishna can just interact with the devotees. Right? As Vishnu, he has to maintain the universe. But as Krishna, he doesn't have to maintain anything. He just maintains the relationships with the devotees. So that's Krishna's point. He's taking that. You know. But, so then Brahma has to show, that's why you're in the highest position. Right? Because that's the supreme personality of Godhead. It's about personality. Right? We don't call him the supreme absolute truth, which he is. But of the supreme absolute truth, the feature of the supreme personality of Godhead, that's the highest. Right? So because we don't think like that, we think it's because you're because of the secondary, then because he's the biggest and this and that, therefore then they see it in this way. They see it in a mundane way. Yes?
So we see that Krishna's personality in different places covered to a different degree by his position, except for Braj. Braj, he is who he is.
Yes, yes.
And he can actually afford it.
Yes.
In, you know, himself.
Yes, yes.
Otherwise, it's a different layers of...
Yes, power. Yes. Yes. Well, that's why in the one lesson it says, this is by your maya. Right? So the materialists still think it's by Mahamaya. The devotees know it's by Yogamaya.
So for Mayavadis, everything is Arogya. If they're on imposition,
yes,
on God, on creation, on everybody.
Even on themselves.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm God, right? You know, so it's still Arogya. You'd like to be God. So that's the problem is this modern thing. Also is that everybody can be, that's Arogya. Because, you know, who does become a leader by going to how many days?
They have different courses. If it's online, it's a little longer. If it's like real life, maybe 10 days, 2 weeks.
Yeah, so I'm saying, 10 days, you become a leader? I mean, if that was that, wouldn't every country in the world take up this 10-day course? You know, who doesn't need leaders? You know? Yeah, so yeah, like you said, Krishna is as he is. And all the others then are, there's some aspect of Maya there where there's a restriction more. So Krishna's unrestricted. He just acts as he pleases as himself. So that's the specialty. That's what's never been given before, is that. Radha and Krishna worship has been given. But not this aspect of Radha Krishna worship, this attitude. So, yeah. So it's very special. But you just have to cut through all the secondary to get to it. Right? As long as there's faith in the secondary that's important on its own, then you can't get to this. But if you understand as the primary, as the love for Krishna and the devotees, that's the real thing. And the secondary, it's important in as much as it can support that. Then it has a meaning. Yes?
I was thinking that if you're actually manager, leader, you don't really find taste in hearing about management and leadership. You're already doing it.
Yes, yes.
And you don't want to spend enough extra time again hearing about it if it's not really necessary for a particular thing.
Yeah, no, unless it's a specific skill that you need to learn.
Or if you're really living a grihastha life, you don't really like to go to seminars about grihastha life. You want to hear about Krishna and...
Yeah, especially about the secondary. If you're talking on grihastha life of the attitude, the moods, the rasa, that's something that's valuable. Yeah, yeah. But if it's about there's this rule, there's that rule, and all that, then yeah. Yeah, true. Especially if you've been a manager for 20 years, and then you have to go to this 10-day course by Bhaktin, you know, what do you call it? Ivana or something like that, you know, because she's, you know, did a management course in university, and so therefore she's running the course and you have to sit there. That must be one of the most painful things to me.
It seems that what Krishna and the Pradivati are doing is like a drama.
That's why it's called pastimes.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be done. No. It's done just because of the taste. That's why kids like to play. It's just about the taste, what the mood they're in, what they're going to do. Yes. You know, it's just like the kids are there, okay, hey, let's play. What do you want to play? And then suddenly come, oh, let's do that. Oh, no, we didn't. And then when someone comes up with something that catches the mood, then they all go and play that.
Yes.
And then they just follow the mood, you know, who's, you know, I'll be the king. No, I'm the king. You were the king yesterday. Okay, then he's the king. And then, you know, this and that, and this, everything falls into place. So it's here, that's why they can do it eternally. But the other is because it's all in connection to Krishna, Krishna being perfect. The creation, maintenance, destruction is going on eternally also. Vaikuntha is going on eternally because it's connection with the eternals. Therefore, then there's not a problem.
So now we need to accept to be part of the
play. Yes. Yeah, and that's the point is that in the play, it is a specific role because it supports the play.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
You need to be trained?
Yes, yes, like that. That's the point. That's the training. So the idea spontaneous means no training, whatever I feel like.
Yes.
You know, I don't know other places, but it's really the American thing, the maverick. No one taught him, no one did anything, and just bang, he becomes expert just because he felt like it. And he put in that effort and determination. Like that. I don't know that any other place has that concept. You know, you got to work hard at it. But Americans, no, you just feel like it. And, you know, even though you're a bozo completely, you can't even walk without tripping over your shoelaces. But then by, you know, two-thirds through the movie or three-quarters, then you're the world expert in something and you know, just like, you know, just like...
Spider-Man.
Hmm?
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah, Spider-Man, yeah. There's so many of them.
Saving the world.
Yeah, you just saved the world and all this one before you couldn't even, you know, get your homework done, you know, without your dog eating it or something. You know. So it's a nice thing, inspirational, that someone, yes, you can do it, that's good, but then it also gives the illusion I can do whatever I feel like rather than what I'm actually qualified for. So that's the whole point, is that therefore in the condition context means what my body actually can do, that's what I should be engaged in. But it's not a matter of what I feel like, it's what it actually can do. And in the spiritual world, I would be engaged in what is my actual natural nature, not whether that, well, I want to keep my options open. It's just, I have a nature. You have your position, you didn't take up that service, now you can go back and take up that service. So then it works out nice. So these things, they have an inspiration. So it does have the thing is you can go out and do anything, that you find basically, practically every yatra in the world, at least back in the 70s, 80s, was started by an American. Not necessarily maintained by an American, but started by one. You know? Like that. So the thing is that drive is there, it's good. But at the same time, is it has to mature into actual real knowledge and understanding who you are and what you can do. Right? So you kickstart. Pioneers start things, they don't maintain things. You know? So otherwise you have to adjust. Like that. You always see there's a pioneer period and that, and then it comes to the point it starts to get regulated. Now the pioneers are a problem.
Yes.
You know? Yeah, you know, like, you always have. They're too extreme. And so they don't fit in. So they either have to adjust or go on to some other thing. Okay. Therefore, the meaning is this. For a person who do not know your, who does not know your Sarup, Tvat Paravim, spreading your Maya, the Shakti for creation destruction, to Pradhan, the insentient form, Anatmani, by your Amsha, Atma, Atmana, you, the Amshi, Atma, remain separate, Bhashi, as if becoming Shiva for destruction, Ante, and becoming Brahma for creation. Probably instead of as if, and probably as in. Right? It means that if you say as in, it's like for example. That. The ignorant see you as different beings for performing these actions. Esha Iva indicates that the actions of Vishnu and maintenance only appear to be limited. Right? They appear to be limited because he's unlimited. It's Krishna doing this, but he takes on that mood and all that, and taking that mood, he's subservient to. His mood is Krishna. You know, it's just like, let's say, you're trying to get something done. You want to set up for, like we're saying, a festival. Okay, and as one person, you can only do so much. Now let's say you're a yogi, you can expand yourself, you know, and then you have so many of yourself, then different ones will take different things, and you will guide everyone what to do, even though it's still you. So that's the whole thing, is it's about what is being done, what's the context. So therefore you follow that. It's not that, yeah, I could do it. You know, Bhima couldn't organize the Rajasuya sacrifice. You could easily. What about Arjuna? Nakula, Sa, each one of them could. Krishna couldn't. Bhima just takes the cooking. You're cooking for probably, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. High quality stuff, the serving arrangement. And then you have the Brahmins. So what you're distributing, that's millions of people. But he just does that. Krishna just takes care of the shoes of those tens of thousands of people. You know, Nakula and Sade, one of them just greets them, one of them sits them. Oh. You always wonder who's playing on them. It's the elephants.
Marimbas.
Yeah, marimbas. You know, who's playing the marimbas? So then, each one of them takes their particular position. Each one could run the whole thing, but they don't. So in the same way, because there's taste there, that cooperation, that working together and all that. So the same way is each form of Krishna, as he expands, can do everything, because it's him. But they don't. They just do that part that then supports that aspect in the pastime. Yeah, because they put their foot down. If you walk flat-footed, you'll be more quiet. Yeah, as far as you think that they'd make a lot of noise, stumping and stuff. But they can stump, but that's generally like war elephants, they're trained in that. Because you can imagine if they're just stomping their feet and spinning in circles and moving in a direction, that's dangerous.
Yes.
Right? Because that's war elephants. They can...
Specifically so that people know they're coming.
That's it's like the electric scooters, you can't hear them. You know, so. No, but it's also, I think it just creates a pleasant atmosphere, it keeps them peaceful. Like cows, they have the bells, it's nice, it keeps everything peaceful. Plus, you know where they are.
Kind of a plus.
Hmm?
It's a plus bonus. You know
yes, you know where they are. Yeah. It's always good to know where the elephants are. Does that make sense? So this taste of working together, cooperating, having a position, just taking that, it's there. It's not about the management. It's not about the authority. It's about the taste of interaction. Does that make sense? So it's a whole different thing, yes.
Actually, in the same way, in Jaya Dharma, It is explained that all of the Ashtasakis, they are fully qualified to be detachments on their own.
Yes.
They prefer to stay under the Rams.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes. So their group is just assisting them serving Radharani. So they don't separately try to. Yes, yes. And then I think even Shyamala, I think she's unique in that she's given up her group and just serves Radharani. So sometimes you see, like in Gopalbhatta Goswami, when he's giving the list of the gopis, when he does the Astashaki, he counts her in there. So there's always 9 there. She's technically not part of that, but she's given up her group to assist them. And she is a, you know, how you say, as such an equal. Like the Astasakis are all equals, they're like friends. Mm-hmm. But the maidservants are not equals, they're juniors. Mm-hmm. They're assistants. So, yeah, nice. Does that make sense? So everyone's just serving and assisting and all that. And ultimately, that's all the different personalities are doing. It's all just assisting Radha and Krishna's pastime. That's the pastime. And then from there, everything expands and all the different flavors that are there and the unlimited nature of Godhood and His energy, Surup Shakti. And therefore, then you get the complete creation or the cosmos. Yes.
The difficulty seems to be is that once it starts from the respecting the position of a person to shift it into based on relationship, it's very difficult. It's rarely happens, actually.
Yes, well, because there's the aspect is that because both go at once. You have to respect the position where this position has some meaning. And you have to respect the personality where that has meaning. So generally we can do one or the other.
Yes.
You know, he's my friend, so even we're in a formal setting, I just happen to be visiting, so I'm cracking jokes and doing all stupid stuff, and he's getting uncomfortable, everyone else is getting uncomfortable, like that. Or, you know, it's just the authority and this and that, and it doesn't matter, friend or this or that, you know, this is the way it is, this is the way it's going down. So both of those we can kind of relate to. But to be able to run both of them at once where it's appropriate. You know, it's just like you're sitting in the room and, you know, you deal more formally and all that, but, you know, it's not dry. But then let's say there's a break, you leave the room and there's a few moments where the two of you hanging out, then it's just friends, it doesn't matter the things. Then you walk back out into the room, then it goes back into the positions. So to be able to do that's by association, that's by training. You know. So that's required. That one that's why it says seek out those who are more advanced. So we also have to appreciate the more advanced is one is the philosophy and the practices, but also in the culture. So the culture is not necessarily seen. We see the nice strict practices or very nice philosophy, but not necessarily the culture. So we see the philosophy, not the religion. We tend to avoid the religion other than the obvious forms of the religion, not the personal aspects of the religion, just the aspects you can operate. Rather than the attitudes and moods and all that. Because that's the first thing to be lost is the attitude. Right? The rules will stick for a while because people have just done it like that. It's the form they're used to seeing. But the attitude, that disappears quickly. Right? So knowledge is there. People always talk about the knowledge. What about the attitude that goes with it? That makes sambandha. But the attitude's not talked about, other than just being... The only time you talk about attitude is someone's got attitude, or you got to give up that attitude. But what is the attitude, that's not discussed. So,
yeah. It's two-person.
Yeah, it's two-person. Yeah, so we're so used to the impersonal, that being personal is... It's intense. But that's where the taste is.
Because you mentioned the advancement in culture as well, that's an important factor. There was one devotee who had to take care of Ambarish Prabhu on a formal program occasion.
Okay.
After a few moments,
doing this, somebody who was coaching, and he said, you're very well trained. Who taught you all this? How to deal with people like this? And the devotee said, yeah, I'm part of the Guru Maharaj. So.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
And I'm very sure. Yeah, I could see that.
Okay, that's nice. That's good. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.